Protestant churches. And I particularly latched on to these five solas. Now, I do remember a little bit about that in Bible college. Of course, back then I was a fairly new Christian and was more interested in hearing more about what Jesus did, not the traditions and the history and the Latin and the Greek and all that stuff. So it kind of went over me. But I knew the basic principles of these pillars of the faith. I understood them because that's what brought me to Christ, was these basic ideas about what the solas, the five solas of the Protestant Reformation are all about. Now, I know the church here is really familiar with that. And so today I'm kind of using that as an outline for how we approach ministry on the reservation. In fact, I titled this sermon, The Five Solas Applied to Missions. But in fact, it's really the five solas applied to life, because our life should be a mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're a child of God. But what I looked around for verses that would kind of fit all of those together, and I found in Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture verses 1 through 10 really hit home this basic foundations of the Christian faith. In fact, a lot of the commentaries that I read and studying for this, just about every one of them said this is basically the gospel in a nutshell. This is the gospel down to the basics. And Paul intentionally puts it in the order that he does for a reason, to contrast where we were and where we are in Christ, where we were before Christ and where we are now. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, and among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But, one of those little connection words. Remember last time I talked about those connection words? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. These verses really are the gospel in a nutshell. They should be the basis from which we go forward in our faith in Jesus Christ and go out into the world. So you guys are all familiar with these five solas. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. The pillars of Christian doctrine, the foundations of our faith. So how do we take this idea of the solas, this long time held basis of the faith of the Protestant Reformation, how do we take those ideas and transfer them over to another culture? How do we take those ideas and present them in the face of deep-rooted religions and traditions without insulting those to whom we go? How do we tell them and share these truths of the Gospels in ways that they can comprehend? How do you cross language barriers? How do you deal with social economic barriers? How do you deal with totally different forms of thinking? We have to understand that our Western lineal way of thinking is foreign to the vast majority of the world around us. They mostly think in a circular way. Life is a circle, and everything eventually will come back around to this one point. And so they have long memories about offenses against them. And a lot of these societies are really built on mistrust and anger and vengeance. And a lot of Native American cultures are that way. So how do you present these basic ideas? How do you get them to understand the truths of God's word in ways that they will really, truly, in a heartfelt way, understand? It takes a long time. It takes a lot of work on the part of the missionary going out. But it's not just foreign countries and foreign peoples that we have to understand this about. Even in our society today, there's a difference in cultures. I tell you what, if you've ever worked with teens, you know there's a difference in cultures. And the way I grew up was nothing like the way these kids are growing up today. And in this high-tech media world that we live in now, it was nothing. I mean, I didn't spend time on a phone. I hardly ever even got phone calls when I was a kid. I was always outside playing baseball or riding my bike or getting into trouble some other way. The point is that missionaries aren't the only one tasked with the concept that we have to make these ideas relevant to the people that we're talking to without diluting them in any way. I've seen missionaries who've gone into different societies and tried to incorporate things within their society that are religious-based and synchronize that with the church. And it waters down the truth of the gospel if you're not careful. And it's a difficult task to do. To help you understand it, I want to I've been reminded as I was studying this about something that Diana discovered as soon as, I mean, it was just weeks after we had gone to the reservation up to the school in Sholo. Newly to the mission field, Diana was tasked with teaching kindergartners, five little kindergarten kids. And during a prayer time, she found out some pretty eye-opening things. These little five-year-old kids understood things. He had no idea that they could understand. One of them's father had just killed or had shot their mother, and the father did commit suicide. Another one had a mother who was in jail because of alcohol. Over and over again, each one of these kids had experiences about stuff that adults in our society hardly ever hear about, unless they have issues in their own families. These kids experienced firsthand what a court system was. They knew what a judge was. They knew what a verdict was, the fact that their parents could be taken away and put into jail because of what happened in a court. It was a pretty eye-opening. Five-year-old kids understanding these things. From that, I want you to take here now just to help illustrate what I'm talking about, making this relevant. Imagine that this place right now is the courtroom, and I'm standing up here as the judge, and I got my robe on, and this side of you guys are the jury, and Brian is the defendant. So Brian has been caught speeding, he got a ticket, and in an argument with the police officer, he punched him in the face. So Brian's facing assault on a police officer and a fine for speeding. So they go through the process of the court hearing, and all of the testimonies have been given, and the jury has gone out, and they've reached their verdict, and they bring it to the judge, and the judge pronounces him guilty on all counts. The fine is $500 for the speeding ticket, and he got 30 days in jail. Now, what kind of a message would it be for a kid who's seen this happen to this parent, and his parent is hauled off to jail? How do you describe grace to a kid like that? These kids probably have not seen grace exemplified in their lives at all that Diana has seen. Now, what if that judge takes off his robe and goes down off the bench and stands next to the defendant, pulls out his wallet, and pays the $500 fine? And then he turns to the bailiff and says, we'll go to jail for him. Set him free. Isn't that grace? Isn't that what Christ did for us when he came and bore upon himself our sins? And he went to the grave and we are forgiven because of his blood. Isn't that the grace that these kids need to see? Ephesians tells us, you are dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were sons of disobedience. We were following the worldly things, the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, among whom you once all lived. Paul reminds us of that. We were all there. We were all found guilty. The wages of sin are death. We deserve to die for the sins that we've committed. But the grace of God is that he sent us his Son, Jesus, to take upon himself those sins and pay the penalty that is owed us. You see, we got to find things in people's lives that help them to understand how powerful the grace of God really is. We are saved by grace alone. In fact, that statement is so powerful that the other solas are based on that principle that Christ is our salvation. Without grace being administered, we have no hope. Without grace, we deserve death. And we deserve to pay the penalty for the sins that we've committed. And all the baggage that we carry on beyond that point of salvation, we need to let go because it's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to even feel the guilt of it anymore. We are free in Christ because of grace. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. The only thing that is required of us is to believe. To believe. All the stuff I'm doing on the reservation, getting busy with all these houses, all the things that Diana does teaching to these kids, it doesn't have any effect on my salvation or her salvation. It may impact those kids' salvation if they accept too. We do that out of the love we have for Jesus Christ and the desire to see more people come to understand what grace really is. And I can't do enough of that because I'm so thrilled because I know where my life was headed. If I had stayed with the friends I was with, many of whom are in jail, I know where my life would have been. But by the grace of God, I didn't have to endure that. I set free from all of the sins I committed when I was a kid. And the sins I will commit from his point on, all my sins, past, present, and future, are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I do my best not to sin. Paul said, what, should we go on sinning that grace may increase? No. Never let it be. So I try. I'm human. I make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. Everyone in this room can probably say, and if we ask you to stand up, what mistake have you made? It'd be embarrassing to say them, but we'd all have a story to tell and how God washes us clean from that. So we are saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Christ. Christ alone. You see, Scripture tells us that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you haven't received the grace of Jesus Christ by the blood that was shed at the cross, there's no salvation for you. It's really as simple as that. It's a complex concept when you really think about it. How can anything be so simple when you look at all the stupid things I've done in my life? I have a brother who tells me he doesn't want to go to church because he's afraid the roof will fall in. And I keep telling him, I assure you the roof won't fall in, but everything you've done in your life can be washed away, can be cleansed, and you don't have to carry any of that guilt anymore. Missionaries have to be able to understand the real life situations and circumstances that the people we come in contact with are facing. And though a lot of my friends were doing drugs, I never fell into that, fortunately. And those are the ones who are in jail now. But the people that we're dealing with out there, the vast majority of them have had experiences with drugs or alcohol and abuse and vengeance and retaliations and some even murder and drug dealings. How do you explain grace to them? How do you help someone who's been in a culture that vengeance is a key part of what they do, who have long memories of people who offended grandparents and great-grandparents in the past that they won't associate with? How do you talk to them about grace and forgiveness and faith? You have to look at each person individually. Though we can put a broad idea about the cultural differences and how they think cyclically and I think linear and try to understand that as you go into a relationship, but each person has their own experience in this life. And we have to find things that we can connect to, and sometimes we're pretty quick to do that. You can see it right off. But other times it's going to take a long, long time, maybe a lifetime, before you can really feel and understand how you can share the gospel message with someone who's struggling those ways. And how to express to them the freeing reality of the Holy Spirit coming into your life and the grace of God being poured out from you and the sins being washed away and the burden you don't have to carry anymore. You can let it go. sounds simple, but it's such a struggle. We can let it go. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, by the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible for him, whoever who draws near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. It's impossible for us to please God apart from faith. We have to have faith in order to accept the grace. We have to have faith in order to understand the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And when it gets to the point where you don't really understand, pray for God's guidance and have faith and step out and do whatever it is he's prompting you to do. Because all of this is all that we tried to do on ARM and all missionaries around the world ever really tried to do is to exemplify the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correcting and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We can trust the Scriptures. How do you get a person who has very difficult time reading to understand the Scripture? You got to learn how to verbalize the Scriptures in ways that will reach them. And sometimes even to simplify it without compromising those basic pillars. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so that everything you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. Everything about the Scriptures brings glory to God, points to God as the Creator, points to God as our Redeemer, points to God as the one and only true God. There are no other gods but Jesus, but God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Everything that we do based on prayer guiding us and God's guidance and letting him lead should be pointing to the glory of God. And sometimes we need to stop and examine the things that we're doing and say, does this really bring glory to God? I guarantee you everybody here has something in their life that they're doing that really isn't glorifying God, whether it's old habits or whether it's things you watch on TV or how you drive your car on the freeway down in Phoenix. Everything we do, whatever it's what we eat or drink, whatever we do, we need to do it to the glory of God. We are a walking testimony of the gospel message. Our lives should be reflecting the grace that we have and the freedom that we have and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And if it's not, we need to stop and go to God and ask him to show us how we can more effectively emulate the Scriptures in our lives. You know, I've got family members, brothers, a daughter who's kind of strayed away. She believes in Jesus, but she's been lured away by this woke stuff that's going on in the world today. I need to be a living example to her of love and grace. It's easy to condemn what she's doing. Ah, you're going off the deep end here and stuff. But how's that going to bring her back to Christ? How's it going to help her see the error of the things that she's being taught? I need to live Scripture, but I need to show Scriptures to her too. And I need to keep her in my prayers constantly, but in everything I do, glorify God. Help her to see the joy that's in me and to know that God is the one true God that she can count on, and his ways and his word and our truth, and we need to follow it. As a missionary and minister of the gospel, it's interesting to see how someone like me could actually claim to be that. I'm basically a quiet guy. Some of you that know me know I don't talk a lot. For me to stand up here in front of you and share the gospel message and hope in me is a little easier because of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's terrifying. Even when I was preaching regularly, I still had the white knuckle experience most Sundays, just holding on, God, do what you need to do, I'm here. But man, I have chosen to come alongside these guys, help those two guys that went on to be firefighters, because I was a firefighter paramedic, and help them with their medical stuff, the EMT trainings, and encourage them to go for what you feel like God's calling you to do. Now Micaiah's back, the Marine guy was in the Marine. I'm coming alongside him, encourage him. Yeah, do you use your skills and your abilities, the things you learned in electronics in the Marine Corps, for the glory of God. And Praz, this former, who would have thought, a former drug dealer who had gone to murder his wife and fell and shot himself in the face, and God stopped him from murdering his wife. And he can look back now and see how God moved in his life that way. How God could take someone like that and have him on fire the way Praz is for the Lord right now. I've had people tell me that I'm crazy to let someone like that be involved with your ministry, and another ministry that won't refuses to let him help with their basketball thing because of his past. Aren't they aware of the power of forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ? Aren't they aware of the grace that we're talking about here in the solas? The faith that he has demonstrated by putting all that stuff aside? Is he a perfect human being? No, but neither am I. And God can use any one of us that allow ourselves to be used by him. You don't have to go to a foreign country, be a missionary to San Carlos or Africa or anywhere else. You got a mission field right in your own house, in some cases, in your own neighborhood, at the store, the cashiers at the store. It's interesting during this fire situation, talking with these council people and visiting the families. One council member has a traditional background. She is open, and we've shared a lot about the gospel with her. But more importantly, what she's been noticing is we live it. We're willing to come in and help wherever we can. And if they don't want us to be there to do that, that's okay. But if they do, we're here, available. Use us however you see fit. She took us to a traditional family. The father of this family is a medicine man who probably has prayed against us and cast spells against us, because we know that's happening out there. We've been told that. And we were able to tell them why we're coming here, because of the power of Jesus Christ, because the churches around the country are sending funds to help us rebuild your house. God wants you to know that he's in control. And then pray with those families and to hear the response of their prayers back. It's an open door. It's a chance to start ministering. Circumstances like that throughout this community with people that you know, someone that's going through cancer, someone who's been there can talk to them about it. Someone who's gone through drugs, and someone who's been there can sit down and talk with them about it and talk about their struggles. And God can use them to reach that person. If you've been through a divorce, whether it's your fault or not, doesn't matter. You've been there, you understand the issues, God's with you now, your past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins. Go forward and share with people who are struggling with those issues. Share the gospel hope. Share these pillars. Christ alone, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God. And all you do, whether it's whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and everything that you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm going to end with that prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. In fact, one version says all that we ask or imagine. I can imagine a lot. But to him who can do all abundantly more than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is work within him, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you. God bless you all.